Hey guys, welcome to Catholic Dad Show. This week we've got two guests on. They are the authors, David and Stephen Arms, of Milestone to Manhood. This is the book that is a rite of passage for 13-year-old boys to take them from boyhood to manhood. And again, we talked to Stephen last week, but now we've got both father and son joining us today.
And the reason we're recording this little intro here is because we totally forgot to segue from the previous episode to this next episode. So this is a continuation of that, and we hope you guys enjoy.
Let's dive in. Welcome to the Catholic Dad Show. My name's Chris Bartlett.
And I'm Matt Rice, and we're just a couple of Catholic dads trying to be the best Catholic dads that we can be, following, you know, God's will and making saints.
We believe that Catholic fatherhood can change the world, and it already has. Let's dive in. We've got a great episode. If you guys were with us last time, you guys got to meet Stephen Arms and a co-author of this book, Milestone to Manhood. We've got his father, actually, who pioneered this rite of passage experience for Stephen, on with us today as well. So we got father and son joining us. David, welcome to the Dave, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having us today.
Dave, everybody got to introduce or got to meet Stephen last week. How about like a little introduction to yourself?
Sure. Yeah. The most recent significant event in my life was that I was ordained as a deacon on May 28th in the Archdiocese of San Francisco.
So, awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's been wonderful so far, and looking forward to this ministry throughout the rest of my life. So a little background. Yeah, I'm a father of four. They happen to all be boys. So it was pretty appropriate for us to come up with this rite of passage to transition boys into men. I've been married for 34 years, live in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I've always lived there, California native.
One of the things, and I don't know if we want to dive into it, you know, right away, you know, but one of the things that I wanted to follow up with, you know, from our last conversation with Stephen, was the inspiration, you know, of a father to give his sons what they need, you know, and I think that's kind of a basic inspiration, you know, a father wants to give their children what they need. And, you know, you understood and saw a spiritual need and or just a masculine need that your sons had. And like, tell me about that, like what that felt like, you know, that, you know, recognizing that need, you know, and then how did you respond to it? Like, what did you do to figure this out?
Yeah. So, you know, perhaps I recognized that need more so than your typical dad, because I didn't really have a father figure growing up myself. So, I was raised, my mom was a breadwinner. My grandmother stayed home with us and I had one sister. So not a lot of male role models in my life, but I knew that, I wanted to fill that void in the lives of my children once I had them. So not having that experience myself, I was able to enlist the help of my wife's dad. His name's Rich, was Rich, and affectionately known as Bobo in the book. But he, you know, he had also raised four children. They happened to all be girls. But he had done this successful job of raising these girls that all had a beautiful faith. And faith was central in their life. And I just knew, you know, even in the dating process, this is the kind of family that I want to marry into. This is the kind of family that I want to emulate. And who better to seek counsel from than a guy who's already pulled it off and, you know, can help me do this without kind of having much of a clue how to do it on my own. So definitely I give a lot of the credit to him for helping.
Real quick, how old were you in this at this stage?
So I was, about 40.
Okay. Yeah. Cause there's a maturity there. Like when you met like your future father-in-law, you were 40.
No.
That's what I was asking. Yeah.
Okay. Now I was married at 27. So
I was like, there's no way you're that old.
Yeah. I don't know. My sons were 13. I was like around 40.
Yeah, because there was just a maturity there to like you recognizing that in your future father-in-law that you don't see in a lot of young people. So that's, I think there's something unique, you know, right there almost at the beginning.
Well, and there's a tenderness or a measured approach that's different than a lot of traditional rite of passages. And I say that tongue in cheek, but like there wasn't the suck it up. You're a man now, suck it up, like you're a man now, sacrifice, even though sacrificial love is a part of it. It wasn't just like, hey, let's go send you into the woods, come back in 3 days, 7 pounds lighter, and like, then we'll, you know, we'll bring you back to health. But it wasn't one of those type of experiences. So why, how did you choose this pathway as opposed to kind of men are meant to sacrifice and get blood on their hands and all those different pieces? Because there's a lot of cultures that have that aspect in their rite of passage. So what led you to kind of more of a tribe kind of nourishing into manhood as opposed to, I don't know, like getting beaten into manhood, which I think is sometimes how it's portrayed in even in other cultures.
Right. Well, you know, instead of being kind of like a single event like that, it was just important to us, you know, to enlist multiple sources of, you know, what does it mean to be a man? That's why we, you know, that's why it wasn't just me taking my son out away. You know, I mean, and that's going to be different with each scenario, right? Like I said, I have 4 sons and some of them were more eager to do this with me than others, you know, thinking that it was just going to be dad and son one-on-one for the whole weekend. But yeah, we thought that we needed to enlist multiple guys. And in our case, you know, we had uncles and the grandfather. And then as rite of passages occur, of course, you know, once Stephen had his rite of passage, he already had an older brother that had one. So those two were now included in the third son's rite of passage. So yeah, then we had specific events that we wanted to happen over the weekend that would foster that ability to learn these different virtues that we're trying to instill in our boys. And each one of them had their own element of surprise and uniqueness that we felt they would always remember each element. So kind of remind them of what happened.
As you and Bobo were like having conversations about this, like how early in your child's life did you start to think about this and plan this? Like I assume it wasn't like the day before his birthday. My guess is it was a while before that. Like at what age did you start to think about, man, I need to do something?
Exactly. Yeah. It was at least a good year before our eldest son was going to turn 13. And because we knew, you know, once we started looking into this, it's like, there's going to take some preparation and we're going to have to figure this thing out. And it took some time. And then, you know, after pulling the first one off, we kind of had this system of trying to continuously improve the process. So, you know, we took our eldest son out to lunch like a week afterwards, after he kind of could absorb everything that had happened. And just went over, you know, what did you like about the weekend? What would you have didn't care for? And what could we do to make it better? You know, just amongst ourselves. So we were always kind of tweaking the process after each one, so that by the time we did our fifth or sixth one, we thought we had it down pretty well.
Yeah, I bet. When you and Bobo were like researching and everything like that for that first one, was it just ideas that y'all had together, or did you seek out other sources, other resources?
Yeah, I mean, mostly, you know, we would just come up with these ideas and call each other and say, hey, what do you think about this? Well, let's go out to lunch and talk about it. Or, you know, he at that point was retired and I did a lot of travel in my job. So he would go on these trips with me, you know, these long road trips, and we would talk it out during that. So yeah, that was mostly that. I mean, during the research phase where we wanted to figure out, you know, how exactly do we pull something like this off? Then we were looking at, well, what do other cultures do? And we'd researched a few different ones. And one thing that we found that was quite common was that age of 13 was kind of a really sweet spot, if you will, that, you know, much before 13, they're probably not ready for this. And much after 13, you know, once they get into their later teens, 16, 17, 18, you know, they kind of already know more than their parents do. So yeah. It's a little effective.
Or they believe that they know more than their parents do.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So you've been able to see it both with your sons, but also with your nephews as well. I'm sure that there's been different responses. Tell me about some of the different ways that these young men have received it, and maybe the ways that it has implemented it. Because as Stephen mentioned, by the way, hi, Stephen, we haven't asked you anything. You're just there being like, my dad's right here. But like,
that's all right. I'm learning too.
Good. In Stephen's case, he mentioned that like he kind of, it was neat, but then it wasn't really until a little bit later on where some of these things took a little bit more root. And he was able to anchor back to the tribe with some questioning he had in the college years and things like that. So as some of them, it seems like it was like maybe an instant response. Others, it was kind of like, well, that was a good weekend, but maybe it was awkward. Like, tell me about some of the different ways that this rite of passage has been received with the men you've been able to journey with.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, you know, sowing the seed. And there were definitely things that we saw right off the bat that were, you know, minor changes in our sons. For example, you know, after imparting this knowledge that, okay, look, all the men in the family consider you a man now. Coming home from that weekend, you know, generally because it was the weekend of their birthday, we would have a birthday party for them. All their friends would be there, and you know, their mom, their mother, and their aunts would kind of make this observation. Yeah, he just seems a little bit more mature than his friends. But you know, so right off the bat, we would do minor things with them, like give them a little more responsibilities around the house. And you know, one thing that our family did was, you know, by the time, you know, like I said, my wife had three sisters. So the cousin network started growing quite a bit. So you can imagine that holidays around the houses were starting to get big. And typically there would be, at the dinner time, there would be a dining room table for the adults and then another table, a long table out in the living room or something for the kids. And I mean, that was great. Everybody had a good time with that. But once any of the children had gone through the rite of passage, they now sat at the adult table and engaged in our conversations. So that was kind of setting, you know, the shallow roots, if you will. But yeah, you know, the payback really, I think the payback is still happening. If you look, you know, if I look at the way Steve is, the husband he is, the father he is, it's just like, you know, this is just, he's an amazing, I wish I was as good as a dad as back then as he is right now. And like you said, you know,
I don't mean to interrupt, but like, you know, being a father, like that is what every dad dreams of, you know, is that their kids are better parents than them, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Sorry, I interrupted you and I know you had more to say.
No, that's okay. No. So, but yeah, like, I think you alluded to, you know, some of the time that he had in college. And, you know, so like I say, there were just seeds planted that they didn't really come to the surface until later in life when they were trying to make decisions. But obviously that did have influence on them. And, you know, one of the consistent messages that we gave all the boys throughout the weekend was that, you know, if you ever are struggling with anything or just have questions about anything, you know, I'm always there for you. And I won't judge you, you know, if you're having doubts or what, you know, having thoughts or whatever. I'm a safe person to come talk to. And that that paved the way, I think, in the future for this open dialogue. But also, you know, there are just some things that maybe young men don't feel that comfortable talking to their dad about, but they would be more open to talking to an uncle about or a grandfather about or something else. So again, the multifaceted of having multiple men available for this, I think was powerful. It set up this network of support even later in life.
They talk about how young men, or actually when adolescents move into adulthood, they're more likely to stay consistent in their practice of faith and different things of like and be successful in life if they have five adults that are pouring into them. Right. Throughout their adolescent years, like five clear adults, they have names. They're not just like the principal. Like obviously there's adults that are surrounding our children, but like that they feel like they can have conversation with. And the parents, mom and dad are ideally two of those. And then three others are kind of built around it. The rite of passage that you outlined for 13-year-old boys here in the Milestone to Manhood, it provides some extra adults. So I would actually argue that Stephen ended up having maybe seven adults that were kind of pouring into him because there were five men on that experience. Stephen, my question is, how did you lean into those relationships? I know you continued your relationships with all those people, but did that deepen the relationship with them? And did you make demands on those relationships? Or was it like, yeah, I see my uncle twice a year anyways, and this is now three times this year?
To answer your question, I would say absolutely yes. I think that the rite of passage weekend deepened my relationship with all four of those men who were there for me. My grandfather and my dad, for sure, you know, those were the relationships that became my like bedrock relationships for me as I was kind of going through some questioning and doubting during college. You know, it was really my grandfather and my dad who I leaned into. But I will say that my relationship with both of my uncles, Uncle Dan and Uncle Kirk, is also, they're also deep relationships. I do feel like I can talk to those guys about anything, you know. I think I have a deep relationship with them, and you know, it's different. I talk to my uncles, I seek their advice about different things than I did with my grandfather. You know, he's since passed, but and my dad. But I still talk to them about deep things, you know, about being a father now, you know, or what it was like when they were going through what I'm going through now, you know? So I would say, to answer your question, yes, absolutely, that I have a strong relationship with all those men, and I feel like I can talk to them about anything.
That's awesome. Going like a step back, you know, when your son comes back from this trip, you know, he's a man now, but he's not an adult. And so you still have, you know, I don't want to say a man child, you know, in your house, but, you know, how do you balance that? So I want to hear from David first and then Stephen, you know, because there's still this, you know, childish nature, because you were talking eighth, ninth grade, you know, very young, you know, relatively young. And how do you treat them as a man while also having to deal with childish behavior?
The already and the not yet.
Yes. You know, yeah. And like, so Dave, like, question to you is like, how did you balance that? And Stephen, like, you know, did you feel a difference? Did you feel that difference? In how you were treated? So Dave, why don't you go first?
Sure. Yeah. So that's a good point. You know, they're now considered men, but they're not really adults yet. So we don't necessarily, you know, expect like the physical, fully matured adult man to come out. But, you know, in just even in little things like, you know, inviting them to, hey, let's go to the auto parts store. And I've got this little project on the car. And not only you want to work on it with me, but, you know, what do you think would be the best way to attack this problem? And, you know, just kind of engage them and make them know that, you know, their opinion is important too. And maybe they have a way of figuring out how to do something that is different or better than the way I would do it. And just acknowledge that, you know, just treat them as if they're significant and important.
Yeah. For me, to be honest, the way that my parents treated me, in my mind, it doesn't stick out as like all that drastically different than my siblings, because I think they wanted to stay consistent for me and all my brothers. Right. I'm sure that they approached parenting different for me than my siblings, depending on our age. But to be honest, I think what sticks out in my mind when I think about my teenage years and how the rite of passage affected me during that time, I really think it was my relationship with my peers, to be honest, like at school. Like I saw some of my peers doing these things that I was like, why the heck would you do something like that? You know, whether it was like dating or, you know, cheating on school exams or, like behavior acting out after school. I saw some of my peers doing these things and I was never like drawn to it. Like, oh yeah, I should go with that kid and we should go skateboarding for 2 hours after school. Like that's going to lead to, something really good. You know, I kind of knew that like there were some kids who, were getting into trouble and I was just never like attracted to hanging out with that group. You know, I really tried to stay out of trouble when I was in high school. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I had my own fair share of ups and downs and I did my own fair share of stupid things. You can see my dad.
I was about to say, dad's got a story there somewhere.
And I was just thinking we could have a couple episodes just on that, but go on.
But in general, I mean, I think that that's how it sticks out in my mind for my teenage years, was like, I just didn't feel this need to hang out with the wrong crowd.
So Dave, did you at times circle back with Stephen and say, hey, remember at the Rite of Passage weekend, when we talked about this, you're a little bit off track here, son. And I want to remind you about what we experienced. You left those ribbons on the stick, and now it seems like you're holding on to them. It's something like that. Did you use that to kind of, I guess, how did what's the ripple effect of that Rite of Passage weekend in your parenting?
Yeah, there were times where exactly like you said, I mean, it's just like, hey, you remember when we talked about this, and you remember what Uncle Dan said when he was talking about, you know, the scripture that he shared or whatever, you know, how does that square with what you're going through right now? So, yeah, and definitely, you know, and another aspect of the weekend was, Steve probably told you in the previous show, but maybe not, that, you know, all the significant adults in his life, women and men, and even, you know, outside of the family, significant men like, you know, his Boy Scout troop master, football coach, those kind of guys, we all wrote him a letter for the weekend for him to open on the weekend, excuse me. And just with like advice and how much he means to us and whatever, you know, we thought would be something that he could take away with him. And, you know, those are things that he could always go back to if he was struggling with something, or, you know, even if something happened in his life that didn't turn out the way he wanted to, might have been feeling down about something. You know, if you pick up a letter from your grandfather that says, you know, what a wonderful young man you are and how much she's loved, and, you know, and even more so now, probably now that he's passed and some of the players that wrote the letters have passed in Steve's life, you know, that's a nice memento for him. Not only just to remember them, but also, you know, to kind of keep him on track for what the weekend was about.
Awesome.
For sure. As far as like advice to, you know, other dads, you know, and it can be around this rite of passage, but it may be, you know, other types of advice, you know, but like seeing that need and responding to that need, would you have anything to share with other dads that may be watching this?
You know, kind of one of the reasons that we did the rite of passage at the time, it was really more, we wanted to do it specifically for our family. And one of the reasons was because I was working in an industry where most of the guys that I was working with were like a generation ahead of me, like Vietnam era type guys. And I was noticing this trend that as their sons were, you know, getting into their 20s, mid 20s, 30s and beyond, you know, these guys are doing a great job providing them for their family, but their sons are still living with them and not really specifically knowing the situation in their household, but just thinking, I don't see how these guys are doing their sons any favors by perpetuating this stay at home and, you know, let your parents take care of you. So that was just something that we kind of wanted to avoid. And so years ahead of that, we would plant this seed that, you know, you're going to be capable of taking care of yourself. And so that's just one thing I would say. For guys that have younger sons, you know, if you have a son 10, 12 years old, and you might want to do something like this, we've got a lot of resources on our website. You know, it's for absolutely nothing. You just go to the website. There's all sorts of tips and suggestions and ideas, and even a lot of detail, even like how do you enlist other men to join you on this, what to say, and that, even specifically, here's an email you can send to your guys, you know, 9 months before you want to do this. Here's the next one, 6 months ahead, 3 months ahead. In the meantime, what you need to do to prepare for it as far as enlisting people to write the letters, you know, what elements do you want in the place, the destination that you're actually going to go to? So it just kind of gets the gears moving as far as what can I do to actually pull this off?
Yeah. And well, I think to make a good point, this is an extraordinary moment in fatherhood. This rite of passage that you create for your son is an extraordinary moment in fatherhood. But it can't be outside of what is already ordinary fatherhood, where you're pouring into your child and you're making sure that there's a tribe or a group of men that are supporting you in that and supporting your son and growing into a man. So I guess I want to say to the fathers out there, like, if you're not doing anything for your son and you're just working 70 hours a week and things like that, like, start doing something now so that when this moment is there, there's a foundation for this, this manhood to really be built on, you know?
Yeah. And the other thing I was going to say was, you can't look for those men and try to insert those men in their life when they turn 13. Like family, I think, is built in, you know, but there are other men outside of that, that you may meet at work, at church, at different activities. And you say, man, that's a guy that I want my son to know. And so then you actually need to start developing, you know, that relationship yourself intentionally. And like, I wouldn't say the first thing you say to him is like, you know, I want you to be influential, you know, a role model in my son's life. But it may be something you say to him after you've gotten to know him for, a few months, you know, and that's something that I think if we get over our own ego as men, I know I would love to hear another man say that to me. You know, you're an excellent role model. And I want my son to know you because I want him to be able to emulate you. And I think every man in the world wants to hear that. You know, we want to be men that other people look up to. And so if we were to share that with another man, you know, I think it would do nothing but inspire him to even be a better man than he already is. And so I think there's something we can start doing, even if our kids are like 4 years old or 8 years old, to prepare for, you know, their success, you know, their masculinity moving forward, even at that age.
Sure. I mean, it's a wonderful compliment to be asked to go on a weekend like this that, hey, you know, I look up to you to the extent that I would want you to have an influence on my son. That's pretty powerful. And, yeah. You know, once you've fostered that relationship, like you said, with maybe somebody you know from church or a coworker or something, it's pretty natural once you get into the conversation about, hey, our family has this tradition where we do this rite of passage for our sons and explain it to them. And then again, you get that response, whoa, I wish someone did that, you know, for me. Or, and then, you know, the door's wide open to say, well, how would you like to be a part of one? Because it really, you know, I think you're alluding to the fact that it doesn't really just plant seeds and change the sun. It really is powerful for all the men involved.
Absolutely.
I've read some of the reviews on Amazon of the book, and it seems like it's been well received. What type of feedback have you received when you shared this concept or talked to other men about it? Let's start with Stephen first this time, and then we'll go to Dave.
Yeah, the feedback has been overwhelmingly positive. You know, people who hear about this tradition, they more often than not want to start implementing it in their own families. That's a pretty typical response, to be honest. And then the book itself, I mean, we really tried to strike a balance between telling our family story so that guys can get an idea of what this rite of passage is, you know, but then also giving resources and kind of a how-to guide for fathers who want to organize a rite of passage for their own son. You know, how-to guides can be kind of dry sometimes, you know, they're not most interesting thing to read. So that comes second in the book. But yeah, it's been overwhelmingly positive. We've had a few stories. I mean, the book has only been out for 6 months. So we only have a few stories of guys who've actually implemented this for their 13-year-old son. You know, most people have like a 10, 11 or 12-year-old son that they're like, yeah, I'm going to do this in a couple years. But a few have done it for their own 13-year-old sons, and they're totally into it. You know, they're super happy to do it, and they've said, you know, that they've really seen the changes in their sons. And so, you know, that's what it's all about for us, writing this book and sharing this tradition. My brothers and my cousins, we've all turned 13 at this point, so our family tradition, it's kind of like done, you know, that chapter is closed. And so we figure, well, why don't we put some of this material together in a book? We already kind of have a lot of this typed out in emails that went back and forth between the family. Let's put it in a book format and let's share this with the rest of the world.
That's awesome. Yeah. And in regards to striking a balance, this is the part of the book that is the narrative piece. And this is the part that's like the handbook on how to make it happen. So it was really good balance. And there's, just in case people want to look, there's some pictures of Stephen before he could ever grow facial hair in the midst of the middle of the book, which is, it's just fun to see it put some flesh on the experience. So, and Dave, what about you?
Yeah, well, you know, I would just want to say that, you know, besides actually, you know, doing the weekends, having the opportunity to actually write this book with Steve has been amazing. And, you know, I, in one of my college English classes, the professor told us that, you know, when you write, the more personal your story or the more personal you get when you write, the more universal the message. So, you know, it was really kind of, I had the structure of the weekend already laid out. We had planned it so many different times. We had all those resources kind of, you know, that we could archive. But I really like the way that Steve brought in, it was his idea to bring into, you know what, I'm going to tell my story. I'm going to tell what it was like personally for me from the eyes of a 13-year-old to share this. And I think that it strikes a good balance.
Absolutely. What awesome. About responses that you've received, Dave, even from, you know, the parents of the nephews and everything like that, you know, and other people outside the family?
Right. Yeah. I mean, the parents of the nephews, for sure. Like I said, you know, the moms especially notice a difference. And then outside of the family, like I say, you know, it's just kind of a universal thing. You know, you mentioned the reviews on Amazon. It's like, who would look at this idea and not at least think, that's an intriguing idea. It's probably a pretty good idea. Yeah. I mean, you know, who's going to say, no, this is a horrible idea. You know, what a waste of time. So yeah, it's universally accepted and universally just thought that, you know, this is a great idea.
Yeah.
Now, we obviously here at the Catholic Dad Show want you guys to like and subscribe and do all those things. But I do have a question. How important was secrecy in regards to this weekend? Because especially with the cousin network, Stephen, and things like that, where as the 13-year-old was leaving the rite of passage weekend, were they like, okay, you just got to experience it. Don't talk to anyone under the age of 13. Or did the younger nephews and the younger cousins kind of know, when I turn 13, I'm going to go through this thing?
They didn't know. We were able to pull it off somehow. You know, I really honestly believe that it was a surprise for each and every cousin. And that's a crucial element to the weekend, I think, that, it is, you know, kind of a surprise. And, you know, there are elements that are important, like, you know, getting away, getting out somewhere where our son had never been to, you know, just getting a little bit out of his comfort zone, actually. For sure, we wanted to get them in an environment that was not normal to them and something that would be easy for them to remember in the future.
And then Stephen, for you, was it something that you held sacred? Like, I don't want to ruin it for my 10-year-old brother type of thing.
Yeah, definitely. You know, honestly, they told me like towards the end of the weekend, this was a surprise for you. And we want to make this a surprise for your younger siblings and younger cousins. So it really wasn't hard to not let the secret out. I will say, you know, that we always surprised the 13-year-old with this weekend. The big reveal was always at a breakfast spot, right? So the dad and the son would drive off for a quote unquote father son camping trip. And then on the drive up, they would stop at a restaurant, and lo and behold, grandpa, uncles, cousins, brothers are all there, like waiting for him, right? Coincidentally. And it kind of became a thing in our family where, like, the look on the boy's face, right? When he walks into the restaurant and he sees all these men that are his family, and he's just like, what are you doing here? You know, like, what in the world is going on? And you can't fake that, you know, you can't fake that look. So I think by that look alone, we knew that like everyone was surprised here, you know, because it's just the look of shock and total utter confusion.
That's awesome.
Good. Well, hey, thank you guys so much for joining us, Dave, Stephen. Tell us where we can find the information or where we can pick up the book. I know you guys have both a website and then the book. So tell us briefly about where we can take those next steps.
Yeah, so our website is milestonetomanhood.com. And then the book is available for sale on Amazon. You can just type it into the search bar, Milestone to Manhood.
Awesome. Great. Any closing thoughts, Matt?
No, just I'm like honored that you guys were here, inspired, you know, by you, Dave, you know, that you did something that your sons needed. And now, Stephen, you as well. I mean, sharing that with the world, because I do think, you know, especially in the culture that we're dealing with today, where masculinity is not something that is sought after, not even seen as good. Like, you guys are doing the right things, you know, to create the right kind of masculinity that we need. It's awesome that, you know, God did this through you. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Catholic dads, keep building that legacy of manhood. This is a great way to build that legacy of manhood. And again, thanks for joining us here at the Catholic Dad Show. Like, subscribe, and share. And we will see you in the next episode. We believe that Catholic fatherhood can change the world.
God bless.